back to begin the final hour of Sports 180. Hope you're having a good Monday afternoon. Heather, I'll be honest with you. At this point in the day, I'm kind of itchy to get outside for just a few minutes. Enjoying doing the show with you, don't get me wrong there. But I think we're all seeing the sunshine and the ability to get out, I hope, over the last few days. And trying to take advantage of it in some capacity, whether it's getting out in the yard or going somewhere for a walk, whatever the case might be, I would recommend doing that while we can, because weather can be up and down still at this time of year. And when you get sunshine and warm weather, I'll take it.
Yeah, and I've got a big window that I'm just kind of looking out at, so I'm definitely going to be ready to stretch my legs here and do a little outside time, get to walk down to the chicken coop. So, you know, Chris Lowe didn't realize, but he was actually talking about me whenever he was talking about the limited Wi-Fi availability that some of these student-athletes are facing, yeah, as now they're trying to get, like, some Zoom meetings going and some FaceTime in with their coaches. And so I feel you. Our engineering team is amazing at Cumulus Knoxville.
Yes.
They have done an incredible job. I know they spent, shout out to Jay Leifer, Josh McDaniel, Micah, everybody. They have spent an inordinate amount of time getting me up and running. And so my hat's off to them. And now I guess they need to hire those guys to go and do a little tour of SEC recruiting towns to set up some stations to where maybe these guys are able to talk to their coaches.
Yeah, that's a good point. Our engineering staff, you're right, is incredible. Best in the biz. If they did a WNML host ranking, though, do you think I would rank near the top? Because I feel like I was low maintenance in getting everything set up. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. If we're doing high maintenance or low maintenance, kind of like when, you know, on Harry Met Sally, where he's like, oh, you're the worst kind. You think you're low maintenance, but you're really high maintenance. I feel like I would fit into that category. And you are the dream. Hey, all I need is this one thing, this like one cable that they have 50 of. And they're like, here you go. Thanks, Josh. You're doing great.
Keep going. So, yeah, we appreciate our team and all that they do for us to make sure that we're here for you here on 99.1 The Sports Animal. And we'll continue to get through all of this together one day at a time, one segment talking sports and life and everything all together. And you can always hit us up on social media at Sports180. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook, on Instagram. Anytime you have questions, comments, one event, want to rant, whatever, hit us up. We are here for you. And earlier in the show, in the first hour, we had a chance to talk to Chris Lowe of ESPN.com. And you can check out the entire interview in our podcast section on the website, all that stuff. But why don't you hear what he had to say about Tennessee? Is I asked Chris, looking back at this past season, what did Chris take away from Jeremy Pruitt's second season in Knoxville as it relates to what he's trying to do with the program? Here's what Chris Lowe said.
What did you take away from this past year for Tennessee's football team as it progressed along the way that it did and the course that it took in terms of what Jeremy Pruitt is still trying to get done long-term with Tennessee's football program?
The way Tennessee closed the season and its sort of bite-back mentality was the kind of football team that I thought Jeremy would eventually have at Tennessee. Haven't gotten to know him with Alabama and seeing the way he coached his guys and challenged guys. Now, I didn't know as a head coach how steep his learning curve would be. Again, a head coach. He was pretty steep there initially. I think we all would admit that. Jeremy would tell you that. But the way they closed the season and sort of picked themselves back up off the deck and got better in the lines of scrimmage, that was the thing about to me is offensively and defensively, they got a lot out of those units, certainly as the season went on, and were pretty productive. And the way the team responded, even, you know, J.G. Garantano with some of the things he did early and his inconsistencies, you know, Jeremy never lost it, you know, and they never, the team, the players rallied around him. They rallied around each other, and you sort of saw that as the season went on. They got to get better, and they certainly have to be, you have to create depth, quality depth, on both sides of the football. But I thought the way they played, the way they went about it, the way they competed, and just were very, just wouldn't give in. That's the kind of football team that I thought Jeremy would put on the field when they hired him at some point.
That was Chris Lowe earlier today, ESPN.com, talking about Tennessee. We covered a number of subjects around the SEC as well, so check that interview out. But what did you think there, hearing Chris talk about this past season, the way Tennessee's football team fought, and what Jeremy Pruitt still hopes to do at Tennessee?
Well, when you go back and look at it, I think he's spot on. And I think it's pretty undeniable that this team did have a lot of fight in there, because you look back at some different moments, including, just right off the bat to start the season. I mean, this team could have easily folded at multiple points throughout not only the early part of the season, but then even throughout their run. I mean, they had to make some plays. You go back to that Mississippi State game and them just running the ball at will, they were not going to be stopped. And, I really agreed with what Chris said, and I do feel like that is going to be part of the DNA, part of the fabric of a Jeremy Pruitt coached team. And I think that there are there have been some missteps along the way. I don't want to sound like I'm just here for all the sunshine and rainbows, but even Jeremy Pruitt has responded in a positive way, where he's learned from his missteps to make sure that they're not repeated.
Yeah, I think that's right. The Mississippi State game, when we have the conversation of what was the best win, most exciting win, whatever, I don't know where Mississippi State should rank, but it should not be forgotten in the conversation of what Tennessee needed to do in that game and how badly Tennessee needed to win and how Tennessee had to respond late in that game, because everybody at least had the thought of, uh-oh, for Tennessee after Mississippi State came down the field and scored a touchdown and Tennessee got the ball back, and then the Vols have the ball about 90 yards away from the end zone, and you could see the potential for another disappointing finish. And if that had played out poorly for Tennessee, well, it's scary to think how the season might have played out for Tennessee. So the way Tennessee responded, the players, the coaches, everybody, they deserve credit for that. And for them, that had to at least be the starting point of, they came out of that Florida loss, and everything we hear, they put the work in to rebound as the season went along. And after they got that win, the players had to think, okay, we've at least taken the right kind of step with the work that we put in. If they come out and played like they did against Georgia but still lose by how the total points that they did, and then they still lose to Mississippi State, at that point it would be really easy for the players to say, all right, we have Bama coming up, this just isn't going to work out. But they responded. They beat Mississippi State, and then you know how everything played out after that. So that was a huge win for Tennessee. It's not going to be the most memorable for sure in program history, but it was pivotal, I would say.
Yeah, and I'm glad you added that little caveat, because I am going to say it's going to be very memorable, or at least it's the most memorable game for me, not in Tennessee history, but in this Jeremy Pruitt era, where you are trying to establish a different culture, you're trying to establish a different mindset and how you're going to be regarded around the league, I feel like I remember so many things vividly from that game. And to me, that tells my brain that's because that game was a game changer. You know, that was really where the program, you felt a shift into a different direction. Not that it was like huge, not like they did a 180 or anything, but you did just feel a seismic shift into, okay, so these guys are going to start playing like this? Didn't see that coming. I thought this was still the 13th ranked offensive line in the country, and they proved on that day that for that moment in time, they weren't, that they were better. So I'm not saying that it's groundbreaking and you're going to be able to pinpoint, back 10 years from now and say, yeah, that Mississippi State game really, but for whatever reason in my mind, that's the game where I bought some Jeremy Pruitt stock after that game. We'll say that.
We'll say Mississippi State's quarterbacks made some throws where I wondered, what are they doing? Even Nigel Warrior, after his interception after the game, said, yeah, go through it. We'll come back here on Sports 180-656-9900 is the phone number if you would like to join us. 20 college football players, 20 and under. We'll look at that coming up. You'll hear from EJ Anasicki's coach at Sacred Heart on the newest Tennessee basketball player. That's coming up at 2:30 right here on Sports 180 on FM 99.1, the sports animal.
Ready for some more dad jokes?
No! God, please, no! No!
Tread lightly. Here's Josh and Heather on Sports 180.
back on Sports 180. Thank you for being with us this afternoon. We'll be with you until the Power Poll coming out of the show, coming out of the weekend at the end of the hour. And we'll talk more about Tennessee's basketball pickup from Friday. Recruiting news on both the basketball and the football side as Tennessee picked up a basketball commitment from grad transfer E.J. Anasicki on Friday afternoon, and then Jalen Wright, the running back in the 2021 class, committed to Tennessee earlier in the afternoon. There was a piece done at 247 Sports looking at 20 under 20, the best young players in college football. So you're essentially looking at freshmen and sophomores. I pulled it up wondering if one particular Tennessee player would be on that list. You'll probably think of the name that I am here in a moment. He is not. If I said which Tennessee player would stand the best chance to be on this list, though, Heather, which way would you go?
I think I would have to go. You're saying sophomore or freshman. It would have to be Henry Toa, who we were kind of talking about earlier, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's who I was thinking of. And did not see him on the list, but that's not necessarily surprising either. He still, though, he's the choice, I think, of the fans. I mean, in the David Ubbin survey last week, I'm still kind of blown away that he beat out Trey Smith as the most popular player. No knock on Henry T. It's just, you know, come on.
Yeah, but that was just wild. Especially if you asked Chris Lowe about him.
Yeah,
too.
That does say something about him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but everybody's entitled to their own opinion and preference. I would just say Henry can be your favorite next year. Let Trey be your favorite in 2020. But it also says something about the way that he plays, how good he is, his leadership quality, his personality, all that stuff, that I think Henry is the guy that a lot of fans are pointing to say, one reason I feel really confident in the future of Tennessee football would be what Henry was able to do as a freshman and how good he can be over the next, well, let's just say right now, next 2 years, because I think he would have a good chance to go pro after his junior season.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think so you're giving people a very narrow window of when he can be their favorite player, especially if they have to have Trey Smith as their favorite player for the upcoming season, Josh. So
yes, that's right. That's what I'm doing.
Yes. Yeah. So you're or just have multiple favorites there. You can have it that way. But when you're talking about Henry Toa,
nope, you get one. That's it.
Okay. I would definitely encourage people to not bank on any sort of a big announcement for him to come back for his senior year. I mean, this is a guy that is built for the NFL, and so you just are going to have to enjoy him while he's on campus and in whatever capacity, whether it's like a half a season now and then a full season to end his career in Tennessee. But now I was still shocked, and I'll tell you this. I mean, I was still surprised by the Trey Smith announcement to come back. So stranger things have happened. I do feel like if Trey had not had the medical hurdles that he has had, then you probably wouldn't see him finish out his eligibility at Tennessee. Or maybe I'm totally wrong. Maybe he really did want to get his degree because he had promised his mother that. But I just feel like Henry Toa, enjoy him for the short run.
Yeah, he also referenced the feedback of the NFL and the draft and all that stuff. Football was absolutely a huge factor. I don't think it's a stretch to say that if everything else hadn't happened and Trey were projected as a top 15 pick, that he probably would have gone to the NFL because he's, I guess, going to finish up his degree online anyway, right? So that's because he's graduating in May. So I guess that's how he's doing it. But, it's just because Trey came back, don't hold the expectation of anybody else in the future. If they do that, that's great. And we're probably getting ahead of ourselves, I recognize, when I bring that up in this conversation. It's just that he has that kind of talent and that kind of potential. And sometimes you can just tell with a guy. I don't know if it's fair to put him in the same group, but I don't think it's that far off. When Eric Berry was on campus, you knew that Eric Berry was going to be a special kind of player. When Jamal Lewis was on campus, you know, this guy he's got it, and he's going to be really good. Derek Barnett, this guy's got it. He's going to be here for 3 years, and he's going to go to the NFL, and there's nothing wrong with that either, I don't think.
Yeah, I am so jealous of, like, the people that got to see Jamal Lewis and cover him as a collegiate athlete, especially because back then, you could just kind of talk to everybody. You just pull them off to the side and really establish a nice one-on-one rapport and get some great insight because that's a guy I can only imagine because I did get to cover, you know, athletes like Eric Berry and some of the other ones that you're referencing where they just looked different. I mean, from the way they physical stature, the way they carried themselves. I mean, you knew that Jamal was going to be a very special commodity that it wasn't going to come around all the time. I mean, that late 90s recruiting, that's still just mind-blowing at how good of a recruiting job that staff did.
Oh, yeah. They brought in pretty good haul of talent there.
Yeah, just a stupid amount of talent. I mean, golly, if we could have, like, spread it out over some years for some of the more bear times. I mean, if you were, like, stuck in time in the late 90s and then dropped into 2020 and everything that's going on, you'd be like, wait a second, Tennessee really had multiple years where they didn't have a player drafted in the NFL? I mean, that would be a big head-scratcher for people.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So, a lot of things that I think would catch people off guard, having seen what happened with Tennessee football the last 10-plus years. And a couple weeks ago, John Adams wrote about Trey Smith and said, put together a Heisman campaign for him, knowing that he's not going to win it, because he's obviously not going to win the Heisman Trophy. But that also doesn't necessarily matter. I mean, you can do joint promotions, because he would have a really good chance, I think, at the Outland Trophy this upcoming year. So put together some kind of campaign like the Houston's campaign, a couple years ago for Ed Oliver.
Yeah.
Where he was a legitimate Outland candidate. And, hey, you know what? If you want to put his name in the Heisman conversation, it just does that. It creates more conversation. So I would do something like that. I actually like that idea with Tennessee and Trey Smith. Now, I don't know what funding looks like, because that can cost money as well. But that's a separate conversation. Whatever you can do to promote and celebrate Trey Smith, I would say do that. Because now he's not going to ask for it by any means, but he's got the personality to maybe have a little fun with it if you want to.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that there are people that are sitting around with a lot of time on their hands right now and maybe looking for an area to focus on. And I think starting up some sort of campaign like that for Trey would definitely be not only doable, but would be an easy one to get behind because of the caliber of person you're talking about. I mean, just everything that we have said about Trey and how special of a person he is, not only on the football field, but also character-wise. If you were just sitting around with like, oh, yeah, that would kind of be a fun thing to start. Getting behind somebody like Trey Smith would be an easy thing to do.
Yeah, so that's an idea. Why not come up with ideas in the middle of March? You'll have plenty of time to put them together for whenever you get back to football to have that kind of campaign. We'll come back. EJ Anasicki, he is going to be the newest addition to Tennessee's basketball roster when he makes that transfer official. He made the announcement on Friday. His coach at Sacred Heart talks about the way that he plays, and I think that will tell you why we believe he probably fits in with Tennessee's basketball program. That's coming up next right here on Sports 180. We are with you until 3 o'clock this afternoon on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. This is Sports 180. We have a half hour to go before Sports Talk takes over at 3 o'clock. Hope you're having a great start to the week. We are with you again until 3, and then Sports Talk will take you home this afternoon. And before we hear from EJ Anasicki's coach at Sacred Heart, and you'll want to hear about how he's developed as a basketball player and the way that he plays, I think it's a good fit for Tennessee. Heather, we've talked about the importance of supporting local businesses, local organizations, local restaurants, getting outside, helping people, reaching out to folks to make sure they're okay. Also, another thing that's really important is what they do there at Medic to help people. And things have changed, of course, because of all that's gone on. They've had drives that have had to be canceled, but the need is still there. So the website to know is Medic. Mobile drives, they will be seen by appointment only until further notice because of, again, all that's gone on. And the appointment-only process will help them meet the restrictions and the guidelines that are out there right now. So if you would like to schedule an appointment to help the Medic Blood Center, just go to medicblood.org, medicblood.org. They do a great job of helping so many people. You can also call them. It's an 865 number, 524-3074, but again, the website medicblood.org. Let's remember their need as well.
Yeah, and I love the fact that you're highlighting Medic, because The need for blood, it never stops, especially with how ill some people are right now. So that's great to highlight them and continue. You know, we're going to continue highlighting the businesses that are open. Shout out to Calhoun's. We did some Calhoun's curbside to go the other day, and they were so appreciative and just like so nice whenever they brought our food out. So that was awesome. And Calhoun's has always been really good to our radio station. But everybody, like, it just whatever you can do. And let me say this, if you're going a little stir crazy and you have no symptoms, say you're healthy, you've been quarantined, but you need to get out of the house, you can also explore Second Harvest Food Bank needs volunteers. And you might think, I can't lift heavy boxes of food. I volunteered on Saturday, and one of my first jobs was standing in one spot and sticking a label onto a can so that it was easily identifiable of what was in that can. So super easy jobs. They can make it work. They can only have 10 people at a time. So you can go to secondharvestetn.org and figure out how you and maybe your teenagers that need to get a little bit of energy out, how they can volunteer.
Yep. Continuing through this process together, that's how we will make it once we come out of it. And we will, but we'll go through the process of it together, including right here on the Sports Animal. We appreciate you hanging out with us. And EJ Anasicki right now is going through the process of finishing up classes online at Sacred Heart. He'll be a grad transfer at Tennessee and a guy that could score and rebound at a very high level there in the Northeastern Conference. And Tennessee needs rebounding on next year's basketball team. So I think the basketball fit is really good, but the cultural fit, I think, will be as well. Listen to what Anthony Latina, the head coach at Sacred Heart, told Joel Silverberg this past Saturday on Saturday Sports Talk when he talked about how Anasicki progressed over the last 3 years at Sacred Heart.
EJ is an elite worker. Elite. Probably, I've been coaching. Just finished my 25th year of coaching as a head coach and as an assistant. Probably in my 25 years of coaching college basketball, probably the hardest worker I've ever coached in terms of the things that EJ is willing to sacrifice to be a great player. He's the type of kid who's always in the gym. If we have a 7 o'clock lift, which we did all summer, he'd be in the gym by 5:45, 5:50 in the full basketball workout before the lift. He really lived in the gym, and so he's a kid that was willing to sacrifice things that most kids don't, like going to bed early, really having a disciplined lifestyle and a disciplined kind of view of how to become the best player can be. So he wanted to trim down from his sophomore to his junior, so he really changed his diet and got his body fat way down. And so he was an elite worker. You know, we like to think that we gave him a very good platform to showcase his talents, but EJ deserves the lion's share of the credit for just being such a hard worker and, all the success that he has had with us and will have going forward. You know, he made that happen.
Anthony Latina, the head coach there at Sacred Heart, talking about how Anasicki worked and improved over the last 3 years. What about his motor on the court? Listen to what his head coach said about him.
Well, that's probably his greatest skill. Is he is just relentless. He is physical. He never stops. I mean, he plays not many plays, but he'll play to exhaustion. And that is always, even before he developed into this great player, that was something even in the recruiting process when we were watching him. He was a little raw, a little rough around the edges, and not super polished, but, boy, he just kept going after the ball, after the ball. That was something that was just kind of a skill that he either developed or was born with, because he was just always doing that at a very high level before he even polished his game, his offensive game up as he developed. So, he's just playing with that type of energy and that type of effort, I think it's a skill, because it's something he just works on every day. And, the fans won't be able to see it, but the coaching staff will certainly see a guy that will practice as hard as he can every day. And obviously fans only see points and rebounds and statistics, but I think he'll help the program above that by just raising the level of competitiveness in practice. He'll bring it every day.
Heather, and that's Anthony Latina. He is the head coach at Sacred Heart, Anasicki's coach. Doesn't that sound like a Rick Barnes basketball player?
It definitely does. And everything that Coach Latina was expressing, I had kind of written down little notes during the EJ Anasicki interview. Like, you asked him, why do you think you're a good rebounder? I play with heart. I work hard. Those were his responses. He didn't say, I'm the tallest guy. I'm the fastest guy on the court. I can jump the highest. I mean, it wasn't a response like that. It was, I'm going to outwork you. And for Coach Latina then to also echo all of EJ Anasicki's, you know, critiques of himself, I just feel like this is a perfect fit. This is somebody that's going to up the level of practice to where practices are more competitive and you're getting more work done. You're working harder. You're not having to, you know, reteach things and go over, you know, as Coach Barnes would say, you know, there's some things that Coach Barnes does. And one thing is he wants practice run the way he wants it run, to the fact that they will awkwardly stop and go over things multiple times to make sure he is getting the outcome and he's getting the look that he wants. And so for a guy that has this type of work ethic to now be a veteran player coming into this group, it just ups your floor for sure. I mean, that in turn raises your ceiling.
Yeah, so EJ Anasicki, I think a guy that from a basketball standpoint, what he does as a player, I think he will fit in with the Vols and the way that he works. He's an older player, obviously, coming in as a grad transfer. I think that he will fit in from a chemistry and cultural standpoint, and I'm projecting there, but I really do think it's the right kind of fit for Tennessee. He's highly ranked when you look at the grad transfers that were available. He's one of the higher-ranked guys in that regard as well, and the scouting report on him is he's not a guy that just put up numbers at a lower conference level playing in the Northeastern Conference. He's a guy that I think what he did, I'm not saying he's going to go put up 15-11 for Tennessee next year, but in terms of the way that he played and how productive he can be, I really don't see any reason that he can't do something like that for Tennessee. And I actually thought over the weekend about a player who was at Tennessee with Konzo Martin, and that is Jaron Maimon. Remember the way that he played and the different things he could do? Now, he dealt with injury issues, which limited how productive he could be his final year at Tennessee. Yeah. But he was still a guy that helped Tennessee go on a run to the Sweet 16. And M.A. sent us a message and said he reminds me a lot of Jaron Maimon. And from a size standpoint, there's not a great difference there. The work ethic and the mindset on the floor and the size at that forward position, that might be a pretty good comparison. If you're getting Jaron Maimon level play, anywhere close to that would be very impactful for what Tennessee basketball can be, because Jaron is a really good player for Tennessee, especially before he dealt with the serious injury issues.
Yeah, one half of the Bruise Brothers with him and Jarnell Stokes in the paint and knocking people's heads and bodies flying everywhere. And if you're looking for something to do, you can log on to 99.1thesportsanimal.com and hit the interview section, because Jaron Maimon was one of our call of alls earlier on in the basketball season when everything was still operating the way that we are accustomed to it operating. So now a member of Konzo Martin's staff with the Missouri Tigers. So it was cool catching up with him, and that is definitely a guy. If EJ Anasicki is going to come in and be like Jaron Maimon, then this team did just get a lot better.
Yeah, and he was an all-SEC player. I'm not saying EJ is going to do that. I just mean from the way he plays, number of things he can do, intelligent player who works hard and will hold others accountable probably. You'll take that on your basketball team. So that's what Tennessee needed. Tennessee landed EJ Anasicki on Friday. I think it's good news for the Vols. We will come back for a final segment of Sports 180 with the Power Poll, and then Sports Talk will take over coming up at 3 o'clock here on this Monday afternoon on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.
The Sports Animal and Alexa are best friends. Just tell her, Alexa, enable the 99.1 The Sports Animal skill.
Skill enabled.
Then anytime you want immediate Tennessee sports info, say, Alexa, play 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Okay, playing 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Sports 180, thank you for being with us today. We'll have Sports Talk taking over at 3 o'clock.
Heather, how about this? Unbelievable. We were talking earlier in the show about Vincent Van Gogh. Today was his birthday. Well, a painting by Van Gogh was stolen in an overnight smash and grab. This, according to the Associated Press, there was a raid on a museum that was closed to prevent the spread of the coronavirus. And police said that a famous painting by Van Gogh was stolen overnight. Now, the value of the painting is not known right now, but unbelievable. Van Gogh's birthday, a well-known painting in a museum east of Amsterdam, was stolen overnight.
Yeah, everybody's worried about coronavirus and thieves are capitalizing. That would be a good time to remind people. Bob Yarbrough joined our program earlier. If someone calls you about your stimulus check and asks for any sort of banking information or any sort of personal information for you to get your check, hang up on them immediately. That is a scam, scam, scam. The government knows where you live. They know where to mail your check to. Do not give out any sort of personal information over the phone, and make sure you tell your parents, because the older Americans are easily attacked for scams like this. So just make sure you call your mom, call your dad, say, hey, listen, if you get one of these calls, do not give them any sort of personal information over the phone. So, yeah, everybody's worried about coronavirus, and you got thieves out stealing a one-of-a-kind painting. I mean, what is this world coming to, Josh Ward?
I don't know. So you've got that news item. Very disappointing. Also, we'll monitor this afternoon, but the NCAA vote is to happen today on what will happen with eligibility with spring and winter sport athletes. So don't know the exact timing there, but we're at least monitoring to see what might come of that today.
Yeah, and Ben Portney, who writes for the Mississippi State, covers Mississippi State, he said that their AD was speaking to a Rotary Club or something today, and they were going over some of the different things that are being addressed in the meeting. And Cohen is saying that John Cohen, Mississippi State AD, that Greg Sankey is voting to restore eligibility to all student athletes, not just seniors. So that's the way Greg Sankey is going to be voting in today's meeting. So
Now, would that be spring only or spring and winter?
I would imagine it was spring only. That is not clarified. It just says Cohen said SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey is voting to restore eligibility to all student athletes, not just seniors. I do think the winter sports is very, very slim that they get any sort of eligibility restored. So I would imagine that just using simple kind of common sense that it would be in regards to the spring sports, since that's kind of what we've been holding out hope for.
So that's something to monitor today as well and this afternoon. And Sports Talk's taking over at 3 o'clock. Also, today is National Doctors Day, and we often recognize the national days. We haven't really talked about that, but when we talk about helping people, how about just a sincere thank you to doctors and medical professionals, everybody who is out there doing everything they can to help people in such a critical time and, you know, concerning time for a lot of people. So National Doctors Day, we should say it every day, not just today, but for sure. Big thanks to them for everything that they're doing and will continue to do.
Yes, doctors, nurses, techs, everybody that is in the medical community right now, even the people that are in human resources and they're trying to move people from one area to another to be able to help. I mean, just everybody in the medical community, you guys are awesome, and we appreciate you. And hats off to all the doctors out there. Happy Doctors Day.
We say hello to John Wilkerson, who's getting ready for Sports Talk coming up at 3. Hey, John, good afternoon. How are you?
Doing well. Glad to hear you guys are doing well as well.
Yeah, trying to take advantage of the weather, which is helpful, at least, I would say, has been over the last few days. Warm weather, sunshine, can do us some good right now.
I don't think there's any question. Again, just lifting the spirits. And we, of course, had some storms blow through over the weekend, and that knocked the power out for a bunch of people. And hopefully everything's been righted in that regard, and it was something to see how many trees went down. So appreciate everyone that lent a helping hand to their neighbors that maybe didn't have everything to get any trees out of the way that needed to. But it was it's always something when you can just take a step outside and take a deep, deep breath, because anytime you get the chance just to inhale and exhale, just kind of let everything go for just a moment, that's a big help in a time like this.
Yeah, no doubt. And we're handing out thank you. So, I mean, thank you to the people that got out. It's their jobs to help in that regard when they're trying to restore power and all that. So just this is a time where lending a helping hand is even more important, and a lot of people are doing that. Let's not forget that either. So we're getting ready for Sports Talk coming up in just a few minutes. Before we do that, let's hit today's Power Poll.
Captain, we're losing power on the warp engine.
Nuclear power plant.
What's up? I'm Kenny Powers.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
I have the power!
With great power comes great responsibility.
Full power, Mr. Scott.
The Power Pole, driven by Ted Russell Ford. Two locations to serve you, Kingston Pike and Parkside Drive.
All right, I'm very nervous for Heather's list that we're going to get to in a moment. John, it was kind of a viral social media game over the last day or two, and that was naming four baseball players who made a big impact on you. So kind of playing off that a little bit, we're going to go with the top five, and however you see fit, but the five most influential baseball players on you.
Okay. Enjoyed being tagged in that, by the way, which I don't always appreciate being tagged, but I did enjoy being tagged in that regard. At number five, and he didn't make my top four, but he would have been right there. I thought about it long and hard. Number five is Todd Helton. This, even though it was a shortened season, this was my 30th straight season of Tennessee baseball this past year. And if Todd Helton had not helped pave the way along with his famous teammates from Central and just lift the program to its first, to back-to-back SEC championships in 94 and 95, first College World Series trip in 44 years in 95, which was 25 years ago, I don't know that Tennessee baseball is what it is today. So Todd Helton, as well as putting in what I think in the end will be a Hall of Fame career in Major League Baseball, Todd Helton's number five. At number four, I will go with Nolan Ryan. He was one of my all-time favorites, loved the Express, and it didn't matter whether he was pitching for the Rangers, who I was a fan of at the time, or the Astros. Just loved the way he got after it, as well as how long he was really good into his career. At number three, my all-time favorite player, Chris Chambliss. He was just a lunch pail kind of guy, first baseman for the New York Yankees. When the Yankees traded him, that's when the Yankees became dead to me, and they still are. He did become an Atlanta Brave, which was a nice thing, and so Chris Chambliss, number three. Number two, David Ortiz, Big Poppy. Since the listeners of Saturday Sports Talk way back when chose the Red Sox for me, the experience has been marvelous, and it's thanks to just the incredible on-the-field and even more importantly off-the-field contributions of Big Poppy, David Ortiz. And then number one for me, right at the time that I became a fan of baseball, Hank Aaron was chasing down Babe Ruth. So Hank Aaron is by far and away my number one, and I'll just share the stat that everybody loves to share. You can take away every single one of his 755 home runs in his career, and he still has 3,000 hits. Thank you.
Yeah, unbelievable.
I like that. We also got Heather a Harrington. Mini John Wilkerson soapbox right there for Hank Aaron. I liked it.
Yeah. Yeah, Hammer and Hank. Yeah, that's a good list, John. Heather, your top five baseball players that were influential to you.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll say that they were my favorites more so than him, because I never played softball, so I never tried to act like these guys.
That's fine.
And I didn't take any injections. So, you know, I feel like I should just put that out there. Okay, so... And feel free to judge. I get it. You guys, judge away. Okay, so number five is a tie for me, because we were all in. We were all in on the Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa race in the Harrington household. So I'm going to put them at the number five spot. Number four is going to be Ken Griffey Jr. for me, for the same reasons that you said earlier, Josh. He was just like, he was in on pop culture. He was in on everything. He was just cool. He was kind of like an MTV crowd. Number three is going to be Big Poppy. Number two, y'all can cite me for cheating right here, but it's going to be the Killer Bees of Jeff Bagwell and Craig Biggio. Love them. And then, of course, my number one, my fave, didn't play his whole career with the Astros, but played enough of it for me, and that was Ken Caminiti.
Yeah, I don't know, Heather, with some of the players on your list, I'm going to have to needle you for those.
Oh, wow. I will say this, there are a lot of MVP initials on Heather's list.
Yeah, props to
And you know what? Bagwell and Biggio, I'm down with those guys and Poppy. So yeah, it's not a bad list. Still stand by my joke though. So some honorable
like
mentions, John. I'm really stretching it here, but an honorable mention to Michael Jordan because I have one Michael Jordan autograph, and it is an autograph baseball from when he was in Knoxville playing at Bill Myers as a part of the Birmingham Barons. So an honorable mention to MJ, and I also, I think, had a baseball T-shirt jersey. And then also newer times, Ronald Acuña. He's kind of helped renew the excitement level along with somebody like Freddie Freeman over the last couple of years. Good time for them to not be able to play, huh? Number five, I thought he was the coolest. Deion Sanders with the Braves. I was on Team Deion versus Otis Nixon for that center field spot. I know that he could be controversial at times, but Neon Deion. Number four, Carlos Delgado, because, John, in those days going to see the KJs play, Carlos Delgado was a star for them and had a huge year before going on to play for the Blue Jays. So Delgado, number four, and then a run of Braves, Tom Glavine, number three, Fred McGriff, the crime dog. He's my all-time favorite player. Number one most influential, though, I would say, would be Griffey just because of how good he was, how popular he was, the backwards hat, the home run derby, the cleats, all that stuff. So Griffey, I would say, most influential. Fred McGriff, the crime dog. My favorite. That is the Power Poll. Top five most influential or favorite baseball players as we come out of the weekend and we get ready for Sports Talk coming up at 3 o'clock. John, what's coming up next?
Look forward to being joined by Dr. Jerry Punch for his regular slot from 3:30 to 4:30. Bill Schmidt, a former Olympic medalist, he'll join us at 4:35. Rob Lewis of AllQuest.com will be along at 5:05. Daryl Taylor was on The Nation last night. We'll bring you those comments if you did not hear his conversation with Chris Lowe and Austin Price. We have that and, of course, our trivia challenge at 6 o'clock. All that and more today on Sports Talk.
John, we appreciate the time as always. Thanks so much. We'll look forward to the show here in just a few minutes.
Hope you all have a great night. Thank you.
Thanks, John. Heather, thanks. Sam Foreman back at the studio. Thank you. We'll have a lot to get to tomorrow with maybe what comes out of the NCAA sports news out there. We're going to TV bracket that we have to address at some point as well, so we'll maybe get to that tomorrow. What do you think?
Yeah, the Ringer has just a wild number one seed, and I can't disagree with it more. So yes, it must discuss.
A lot of problems with you people, and you're going to hear about them early. An early Festivus may be coming tomorrow on Sports 180. Thanks for hanging out. Hope you have a great afternoon. We'll see you tomorrow on Sports 180. Sports Talk's next on the Sports Animal.